This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Please rise if you are able and join me in the call to worship. The journey of faith is a journey through life. We are all pilgrims, travelers making our way. We sojourn on the pathway of the saints. We walk the same highway and follow the same landmarks. But for each generation, in each place and time, and for each soul who travels this way, the road seems different. Today, we celebrate tomorrow's leaders, the heroes of a history yet to be made. Reach out to them and invite them to join us on the journey. As they walk beside us, we may tell them our stories, but we may not tell them the way. It is a quest they must follow by themselves. We can tell them our questions, but the answers must come from within their own hearts. Celebrate a new generation of faith, a new branch with its leaves about to blossom. As we all worship God together, let us make a place for them. The family of Christ is their family too. Holy God, time and again, you have taken rootless people with no identity and called them to become servants of you and your will. Do likewise with us, that despite our faults and limitations, we may become and remain instruments of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Today's first scripture reading is from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. Meanwhile, Saul was still spewing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest, seeking letters to the synagogues in Damascus. If he found persons who belonged to the way, whether men or women, these letters would authorize him to take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. During the journey, as he approached Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven encircled him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice asking him, "Saul, Saul, why are you harassing me?" Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are harassing," came the reply. "Now get up and enter the city. You will be told what you must do." Those traveling with him stood there speechless. They heard the voice, but saw no one. After they picked Saul up from the ground, he opened his eyes, but he couldn't see. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and neither ate nor drank anything. In Damascus, there was a certain disciple named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision. "Ananias," he answered, "Yes, Lord." The Lord instructed him, "Go to Judas, house of on Straight Street, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias. Enter and put his hand on him to restore his sight." Ananias countered, "Lord, I have heard many reports about this man. People say he has done horrible things to your holy people in Jerusalem. He's here with authority from the chief priests to arrest everyone who calls on your name." The Lord replied, "Go. This man is the agent I have chosen to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Ananias went to the house. He placed his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord sent me. Jesus, who appeared to you on the way as you were coming here, he sent me so that you could see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, flakes fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After eating, he regained his strength. He stayed with the disciples in Damascus for several days. Right away, he began to preach about Jesus in the synagogues. "He is God's son," he declared.
Today's gospel reading is from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 19. Later, Jesus himself appeared again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter told them, "I'm going fishing." They said, "We'll go with you." They set out in a boat, but throughout the night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. Jesus called to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." He said, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they did, and there were so many fish they couldn't haul in the net. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he wrapped his coat around himself, for he was naked, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they weren't far from shore, only about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire there, with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." Simon Peter got up and pulled the net to shore. It was full of large fish, 153 of them. Yet the net hadn't torn, even with so many fish. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples could bring themselves to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus has appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they finished eating, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus asked a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." He asked a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was sad that Jesus asked him a third time. "Do you love me?" he replied. "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. I assure you that when you were younger, you tied your own belt and walked around whenever you wanted. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and another will tie your belt and lead you to where you don't want to go." He said this to show the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After saying this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me."
I would like the children to come forward. Today is May 4th. May the 4th be with you. Think about the last time you got angry. Do you get angry easily? Think about what you do when you get angry. It's important to get along with others, but it can be tough. If someone is bothering you, try talking out to fix your friendship. If that doesn't work, sometimes you need to get other people involved. We can ask friends for help, or we can even turn to parents or pastor to try to assist. Sometimes people might still not want to fix the issue, but usually with prayer and care, we can resolve things and be able to work together. God wants us to keep peace and stick with one another in friendship. God is with us no matter what. He is there when we're with others ready to help. So if you're having trouble with someone, talk to him. If that doesn't help, ask for help from a grown-up. But mostly, importantly, pray. Why not take a moment to do that now? Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, thank you for your love. Help us to remind you of your love and grace. And to resolve our arguments, be kind to everyone around us. Thank you for giving us and helping us to forgive others. In Jesus' name, amen. We know that anyone born from God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him. Who is true, and we are in him. Who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. This scripture means to me that no matter how hard life gets, we push through and do not succumb to evil. What I think about this scripture is always to do good, not lie, and nor the people who are not so nice in this world, that I would like to share with others. What about this, about the scripture? Is that God is always on your side. In good times and the bad, you can push through and overcome anything with God's help. I will live out my faith with this scripture by being the person God created me to be and help and encourage others to be a light in a world that sometimes seems so dark.
As 1 Peter chapters 5 and verses 8 through 9 states, "Be alert and of a sober mind. Your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in faith, because you know the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." The scripture means to me that even when the battle against the devil is tough, we should always know that our fellow brothers and sisters in faith are fighting the same battle. Satan may be a strong enemy, but with strength and faith, the Lord on our side will be one. The way we can apply this to ourselves is to stay on the path with God and be an active member in your church in faith so you can fight off Satan and all that comes with it.
Genesis 2:15 states, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it." This verse highlights that God created the earth and entrusted us with its care. As a result, we should try to make our world cleaner and healthier. Unfortunately, I feel that we are not fulfilling this responsibility. Environmental issues are often overlooked and dismissed as political hoaxes. This negligence can lead to conflict. Many people are either misinformed or uninformed about these critical matters, resulting in debates over the reality of these issues like climate change or deforestation. Ignorance breeds indifference, and indifference leads to destruction. Nevertheless, I believe it is not too late to live out God's call to care for the world. Simple actions such as picking up trash or educating others can make a significant impact. Just 2 years ago, I was indifferent to environmental concerns, but after learning about them, I recognized how we are failing short in our stewardship. We don't always need to find heroic ways to solve every problem. Even small efforts can lead to meaningful change. Please join us in our class statement of faith. We believe in the Triune, God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in God who created the universe and still continues to create. God tasked us with taking care of this universe, and we should cherish it. We believe in Jesus who sacrificed himself for our sins. He was a teacher of God's word, teaching us to have complete faith in God. We believe in the Holy Spirit who guides us on our faith journey, comforting us and showing us the right path.
You to turn and to face the cross. You are not answering these questions to me, to the congregation, but to Jesus, to God. You come to us as members of the one holy Catholic Church into which you were baptized and by which you have been nurtured. We are one with each other, sisters and brothers in the family of God. We rejoice in the gifts that you bring to us. As you join with us in the worship and mission of this family of faith, it is fitting that together we have reaffirmed the covenant into which we were baptized, claiming again the promises of God which are ours in our baptism. Hear these words from Holy Scripture, from 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you might proclaim the mighty acts of the one who called you out of darkness into God's marvelous light. With the whole church, let us all confess our faith. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated on the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Freddy, Mason, and Lorelei, trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Do you? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior? Do you? Will you be Christ's faithful disciples, obeying his word and showing his love and compassion? Will you? In the power of the Holy Spirit, will you participate actively and responsibly in the worship and mission of Christ's church through your prayers, your gifts, your study, and your service? Will you? Invite our clerk of session, Dave Ingebrigt, Dave Erickson, to come forward.
Members of this congregation, in receiving these new members, do you promise before God and before them to give your love and encouragement, diligently striving to incorporate them in the life of this congregation, that they may grow in the Christian life and commitment?
We do. Let us pray. Loving God, we praise you for calling us to be one people, united in Christ and knit together by your Spirit. We count it all joy that you have chosen to enlarge our family by calling these sisters and brothers to a common faith. Lord, establish them in your truth and guide them by your Spirit, that together with all your people they may grow in faith, hope, and love, and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, and with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. I invite confirmands to kneel. I invite families, if you'd like to come forward and to lay on of hands, we will offer a prayer for each of our confirmands here. This is an opportunity of laying on of hands. It goes back to the beginnings of the church, passing along the ministry that God has called us to and allowing the Spirit to be at work. Almighty God, uphold Freddy by your Holy Spirit. Daily increase in him your gifts of grace, both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, uphold Mason by your Holy Spirit. Daily increase in him your gifts of grace, both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, uphold Lorelei by your Holy Spirit. Daily increase in her your gifts of grace, both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Ever-living God, guard these servants with your protecting hand and let your Holy Spirit be with them forever. Lead them to know and obey your word, that they may serve you in this life and dwell with you forever in the life to come. This we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So, confirmands, I want to offer a charge to you as you are beginning this next phase of the journey of your faith life. In today's scriptures that you read, we have many different callings, people responding to God's call. Saul responded in a quite drastic way. It took quite a bit for God to get a hold of him, blinding him with light. Ananias was called to go and speak to Saul. Ananias was afraid. He knew his life could be on the line. And yet, God said, go, trust. And then we have that story in John's Gospel of the disciples coming on shore and having that breakfast with Jesus and Peter being sent to go and to feed Jesus' sheep. In that passage, in John's Gospel, there's a word in John 21:9 that's translated as a fire. It's anthrakhi. It's only used two times in Scripture. Here in this text, and also just before it, in John 18, where on that night that Jesus gave his life up, Peter is standing around a fire, warming his hands as he betrays Jesus. I believe that John wants us to realize that Peter knows he's denied Christ. As he comes on shore, he smells that same charcoal fire. And, so you know, senses will bring back memories out of nowhere. Peter is reminded that he betrayed Jesus, even though he said, "Not me, Lord, never." And in that moment, Jesus says, "Do you love me?" Three times he asks that. The first two times he says, "Do you love me unconditionally?" And both times Peter responds saying, "Jesus, you know I love you as a brother." As if he's saying, "You know I betrayed you. There's no way I can love you unconditionally. Proven that." And the third time Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me as a brother?" He says, "Yes, you know I love you as a brother." And Jesus says, "Then go. Feed my sheep." Peter is still the rock upon which Jesus is building the church. No matter what you do in life, no matter how much you feel you've failed, you've wandered away from your faith, it's never too late. Listen for God's call on your life. Hopefully it never gets to a point where you are like Saul and you need to be blinded and have that type of a situation happened. Always remember that Jesus meets us where we're at. He doesn't only call the perfected. We don't need to be perfect to be called. We simply need to give our best and be willing. And when we are called, Jesus will perfect us in whatever way that Jesus wants. I appreciate and thank you for standing up here and speaking in front of so many people. Not something you're used to, and not for everyone. When you've done that, you've been able to read God's word and proclaim a message about what you believe on Scripture in front of your family, friends, and others. There's nothing that you can't do with Christ in your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for calling your servants, Mason, Lorelei, Freedy, to the fellowship of your people as part of this household of ministry. Renew in them the covenant that you made in their baptism, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, strengthen them in faith and love that they may serve you with joy to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into your doors.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m.